With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to the rebranded, once again, probably for the third, fourth time, Hammer and Rails podcast. I am your host, Andrew. I go by Jumbo Heroes on the website.
I'm Casey Bartley. I go by Casey Bartley because I don't need a nickname.
Shots fired already, so yes. We're off to a great start. And just want to say, Jumbo Heroes was the name of my old site because of the great Jumbo Heroes things that were on the big screen back in my college days. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. They were great. It went with When Worlds Collide, Power Man 5000. Gotta love it. That's the definitive Purdue intro for football to me. So
I knew three of those words.
I figured. I'm older than you, so I'm your elder, so you have to listen to what I say. So we're back at the podcast game. You know, we've got a lot of topics we wanted to talk about tonight. Just real quick to go over, and we're going to go talk about Leroy Keyes, who passed away just this week. We're going to talk about the women's volleyball team, who actually is going to be playing in about a half an hour on ESPNU. This will be out after the game is over, so we won't know the result as we're talking about it now. We're going to briefly talk about the Mr. Basketball race, where we've got some Boilermakers who came 1-2 in Indiana Mr. Basketball this year, so that is great news. And then finally, we're going to touch on the NCAA lawsuit that was just at the Supreme Court. For those of you that don't know, I am an actual lawyer. I don't just blog for a living. So you will get my not at all legally sanctioned views on this lawsuit. And then we're going to end the podcast. We're going to do it every week. We're going to end it with a recommendation. May have to do with sports, may have to do with anything else that we like and think other people should like. So we're going to end with a recommendation. We're going to go back and forth. Casey will do one week. I'll do one next. We talked about it before we started, and we actually were going to say the same thing. So this is going to be a joint recommendation, but that's just a little tease for what you can look forward to at the end of the podcast here. So to start out, you know, we're going to start on a sad note and then work toward our happier things. It was announced this past week that Purdue legend Leroy Keyes did pass away. It looks like he had been battling cancer recurrence, as well as some congestive heart failure. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Purdue lost a legend, one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time, at Purdue. So, Casey, when you hear the name Leroy Keyes, what is the first thing that comes to your mind with Purdue?
I mean, he's Purdue royalty. If there's a Mount Rushmore, he's on it. There probably hasn't been a better pure athlete that's come to campus. It was indicative of not just his college career, where he did a little bit of everything, led the NCAA's 1 year in touchdowns. But when he went to the NFL, he had a season where he played at running back, and then 4 seasons where he played at strong safety. And you only can play both sides of the ball if you are one of the freakish athletes on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, it's such rarefied air. We're talking, I mean, in my lifetime, the only people who I can remember, you know, playing more than one position are linemen who come in, you know, and catch a pass every now and then. You know, they'll line up as a tight end and catch an end zone pass. And that's just, you know, for fun, because everybody thinks it's funny when the fat guy scores a touchdown. I mean, can you think of any players in the modern NFL who actually were playing one position and switched to the exact opposite side of the ball?
Not off the top of my head. Probably not since, I mean, you had like your freaks like Deion Sanders or Charles Woodson that would play every now and again as a kind of gimmicky. Those guys were usually purely speed. And once again, some of the best athletes that have ever played the game. Keyes, you know, to entirely transform to one side or the other just means he was so good that they wanted to get him on the field no matter what position was. In college, it went even further than that. You know, he led the NCAA in touchdowns, like I said, but he was also just a before-his-time freak where, like, his junior year, he had over 900 yards running and then over 700 yards receiving while scoring 19 touchdowns, threw for 3 of them. Like, the man could do absolutely anything on a football field.
Yeah, and there was actually – we shared it on the Twitter account. There was a really great post from the SI Vault that came out at the height kind of Leroy Keyes' career. You know, give the ball to Leroy was – give it to Leroy was what they chanted in the crowd. And there was actually a quote from Jack Mollenkopf, who was the head coach at Purdue at the time, talked about how, you know, they just did whatever they could to get him on the field and get him the ball. And he said something along the lines of, and I'm going to butcher the exact quote, but, you know, if I had not put him out on offense, they would have come for my head and I would have been leading the charge.
You know,
so, I mean, that just tells you everything you need to know about what Leroy Keyes was capable of.
It takes a really talented player to make fans right. And head coach is smart, actually, that as well.
I think the fans part is probably more accurate. You know, coaches get paid the money. You know, you hope they're right every now and then. You and I are just jerks in the crowd who yell things.
That's fair. I do have a personal Leroy Keyes story. It's not very good.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. I have one too. Mine is also bad, but I'd love to hear yours.
So I'm a bit of an amateur golfer, and back when I was in Lafayette, one of our favorite places to play was Battleground Golf Course. And he was out there almost every day that we played during the week. And I do remember some frustrated looks any time that he was caught up behind a slow foursome, which I was playing with a bunch of old guys, so it sometimes was us.
That's great. You know, I mean, you know, once you retire, you come back to the area where you're basically a legend. You can go anywhere, play golf, do anything. And I think he earned the right to give you the stare down and, like, look at his watch as he's waiting on the tee box.
Yeah, I just didn't want him to run through me like a defensive lineman.
Oh, I'm sure he still could at that age, too. I mean, if you saw Leroy Keyes running at you, even in his, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, I'd get out of the way.
Yeah, thankfully I had a Purdue hat on, so he might have thought I was, like, blocking for him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe he was just going to tuck in behind you and get out to the next tee. So, you know, for those that don't know, and I'm probably, you know, assuming we keep this up, I'll probably mention this a time or two because I do have some stories myself. I was an intern in the athletic department for a year, an unpaid intern for 2 years. I mean, and then a 2-year graduate assistantship. So
did you prefer the unpaid or the paid?
I, you know, oddly enough, the paid. I don't know where it was.
Yeah. But the experience.
Yes. Yeah. You can pay me an experience. That'll help put food on my table. I have opinions about unpaid internships, folks. What? And if you'd like to know more, subscribe to my newsletter. I don't have a newsletter. You know, as a graduate assistant, you kind of get shoved into the corner and are like, hey, go do this, go fetch this for me, go get this person. But, you know, you get to wear a headset, so you look really, like, important. And one of the things for anybody who knows Purdue football knows that Leroy Keyes was always around. Anytime you needed somebody to hand out a ceremonial football or, you know, do shout if someone had fallen through or, you know, wave to the crowd, get a little message recorded to put on the Jumbotron, Leroy Keyes would do anything for you. And on more than one occasion, I, as the grad assistant, had to go fetch Leroy from, like, the crowd. And the hardest part would be getting him to stop talking to someone. Oh. Because everybody knew who Leroy was. So when you're bringing him down to the field, everybody's like, Leroy! Hey, Leroy! Give the ball to Leroy! And, you know, he's always smiling, waving. Just the nicest guy. Always smiling and waving. And you got to get him down to the field. And you're like, you're looking up at the clock and you're like, okay, there's a timeout at this point. I know there's going to be a timeout at this point. I have to get you down there. I have to get you down there now. So it's like, come on, Mr. Keyes. Come on, Mr. Keyes. He's like, call me Leroy. It's like, okay, Leroy, come on. So you're like, but, you know, everybody's stopping him. Everybody wants to shake his hand and be like, you know, I was at the game and blah, 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 and I saw you. And it's like, okay, you know, I appreciate it. He's a great guy, but we got to get down to the field. So, you know, he was just one of those guys, always had a smile on his face, always was ready to talk to you, always ready to tell you a story. So, you know, Purdue lost a legend. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least point out, Casey, something you mentioned before we started recording, that on the 100th anniversary of Purdue football, he was named, voted the greatest Purdue football player up to that point. And I think it's safe to say that if that vote were to happen again, he would probably be number one. I mean, I think a lot of people would probably vote for Breeze just for sentimental reasons for what he has done for the program. But I think just as a pure football player, you'd have to vote for Leroy Keyes.
Yeah. If you have a Bo Jackson that plays for you, you should probably vote for him.
Yeah.
Breeze is good, but he can't beat you up.
Yeah. Yeah. And Breeze isn't playing two ways. So
that's true.
Yeah,
I'm just surprised that the fans didn't show more respect to the greatest Purdue tradition of all time of shout.
Yes, the greatest Purdue tradition of all time. You know, you read the stories from 40 years ago, and shout was all they were about. I mean, you know, they didn't care about what the product on the field was all about, shout. So, you know, it's what our grandchildren will remember.
I mean, landing on the moon, like, that took a lot. And, like, it took a lot to overstep that, but thankfully we found shout.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why whenever you see people on Twitter, that's always, you know, that's always the number one comeback. Yeah, well, you never lived until you've seen shout at Purdue.
Yeah, we're shout you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what the kids are calling it, at least. You know, I've seen that hashtag numerous times. So we just want to say one more time, you know, Purdue lost a legend. We're really going to miss what Leroy Keyes can bring to the program, bring to the community and everything else. You know, he was a great man. And for all his loved ones out there, we're very sorry for your loss, and he's going to be missed.
Well said.
So now moving on to current sports, we've got a volleyball game tonight in about 20 minutes. The women's volleyball team is going to be in the they're in the Sweet 16 because the way volleyball does it, they actually earned a first round bye. So they're the number 7 seed. And what that means, again, they don't do seeding the same way they do the men's NCAA basketball tournament. So Purdue is actually the 7th overall seed. They don't do, you know, 4-7 seeds, etc. Only so many seeds are given, numbered, and then the rest of the field is just kind of filled in. So Purdue actually takes on Oregon at 8:30 tonight. It's going to be on ESPNU. And Oregon is actually the number 16 seed. So they are the last seeded team in the field. Purdue previously defeated High Point on Thursday in 3 sets. And this is all taking place in Omaha, Nebraska. So it's kind of in their bubble, just like the men's program or men's NCAA tournament was in Indianapolis. The women's volleyball is going to be in Omaha. So that will tip tonight at 8:30, and hopefully we can get Purdue moving into the Elite Eight with Dave Shondell as the longtime head coach there. One of the nicest guys in the Purdue program, in the Purdue athletic department, and a really great Twitter follow, actually. So I don't have a whole lot to add on that, just because, unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch a lot of the women's volleyball team this year because you kind of have to look around for them before you can find them. I just know Dave Shondell has built one heck of a program there. It's been good for years and years, and they're just waiting for that breakthrough. You know, they've had it a couple times when they're knocking on the door of the Final Four, but they've not yet gotten there.
Yeah, I mean, he's about the only Purdue like athletic person that's worth a follow. It's pretty much it's him and the SID.
And that's, oh, Foreman.
Yeah, Foreman's about the only two personalities in any regards on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we get a lot of people on Twitter who are just like, come to the game. It's going to be great. We play X, you know, but...
Have we figured out what computer program writes Matt Painter's tweets?
No.
Because it's like Windows 97, right?
I would imagine it might be his secretary.
The first IBM?
Yeah, it's DOS, actually, I think.
Oh, okay. The one that didn't make it to Jeopardy.
Yeah, yeah. That was Watson.
Oh...
See, if I had a co-host like Aaron Rodgers, he would have known that.
Yeah, but then I don't understand how Rodgers could do Jeopardy and football. He says he could, but I feel like scheduling's a little more complicated than he made it. But it was worth it for that one joke.
Yeah, apparently they only film Jeopardy for like 40 days a year, so who knows?
I'm sure it's one convenient off-season block too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, if they get Aaron Rodgers, I bet they'll make it work. So back to volleyball, though.
Yes.
I'll tell you, did I mention that I worked in the Purdue Athletic Department? I don't know if I've said that.
I hear that almost as much as your lawyer.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. So the first team I was assigned to, the first teams were soccer and volleyball.
Oh.
No, the first teams I were assigned were soccer and volleyball.
That makes more sense.
Yes, it makes a lot more sense. And, you know, being inside what they call the boiler box, which is where the team plays at Purdue, is a really great experience. I mean, the fans in there are crazy. It was always before they did the renovations. I think they have air conditioning in it now. Before they did the renovations, there was no air conditioning. They had, you know, it's a very high ceiling, of course, because you're playing volleyball.
Was it uphill both ways?
It was uphill both ways. Okay. There was always snow, even in July. I was like, Shondell, do you just like bust this in from Minnesota? He's like, I don't want to tell you my secrets.
And that was on Zenga.
Yes, that was on Zenga. We used to play Farmville a lot together, actually.
Ooh.
So yeah, they just had the giant fans up top in the ceiling that did basically nothing for you. So you know, it took dedication to go in there and. Be a volleyball fan, but that place was always rocking, so I always appreciated that. And he was always ready to help out, always ready to do whatever he could to try to sell the team. So I appreciate what Dave Shondell has built there, and I'm rooting for his team tonight at 8:30. So,
as a child, the only like supreme prominence that I can remember is the women winning a national championship in basketball.
Yeah.
I am fully supporting another women's program winning. I believe our women's golf won one as well.
Yep, they did. Yeah.
So, like, we can be women you. That would be amazing.
I'm fine with that. You bring me the national title. I don't care what the sport is.
Yep. I just want something good to happen to us in a tournament setting. That would be, like, phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I mean, you know, we'll take whatever we can get, and we're certainly rooting for Shondell and the team tonight. So, go beat those Ducks.
Let me ask you this question, leading you into an answer, which I think is what all lawyers do.
It depends.
Is there
there's going to be like four lawyers who listen to this show and are going to be like, perfect answer.
Is there a sport that is more fun to watch that you don't know anything about or watch regularly than a volleyball match?
No, absolutely not.
Right?
No.
Because
so in high school, we started going to the volleyball games because someone had a crush on one of the volleyball players. That's a true story. And we knew nothing about like the rules of high school volleyball and if it was different than like you and your jerk off friends playing in the backyard or on the beach, you know?
Yeah, I still can't tell if they have to rotate or not, or if that's just a summer thing that we do.
They do rotate, but there are substitutions and, okay. you know, There's a whole process.
Gotcha.
But that's honestly when I started to love watching volleyball. I mean, it's the women, because I've only ever been to a place that has women's volleyball, so I apologize to the men. I've never watched you.
I do not apologize.
They're so athletic. I mean, they're so skilled. They're so fast. And if you watch a high-level women's volleyball game, I mean, the things that these women can do, just diving all over the floor, you know, these – you watch these spikes and they get a dig, and you're just like, I have no idea how you did that.
The footwork involved to properly jump up and spike a ball
– oh, yeah.
– is remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're out there thinking – imagining if you've never watched, if you're imagining volleyball like you and your friends in the backyard, you are so wrong. And I cannot implore you enough to watch a high level women's volleyball game, volleyball match, because I mean, it's incredible the talent that they put out on the court.
Wholeheartedly agree. Also, effort just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Also, it really hurts to hit a volleyball.
Oh, yeah. And especially, I mean, if you're hitting it with as much force, yeah, and with it's coming at you with that speed that these women can hit at. I mean, no, I'm not diving in front of that.
Nope.
No.
So right, let's go Boilermakers.
Yeah. Good luck tonight. Hopefully when we post this tomorrow, it will have been a victory and we will take all the credit. All right. So moving into basketball, which I'm sure is probably the sport that most of our listeners care about the most. I mean, it may be closer to football season, but, you know, well, there's your opinion. Like it or not, you know, Purdue is a basketball school, and we did just get some good news this last week. Incoming Purdue recruit Caleb First was actually awarded Indiana Mr. Basketball.
Oh, you're not gonna say it? You're a dad now. You're allowed to make the joke. Oh,
yes. Caleb First was first in the voting.
Woo!
Hold for applause. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and do you want to say who second place was, Casey?
Trey Kaufman Wren, also going to Purdue.
Was just going to ask where he was going to attend college. So Casey and I did a little research. This is the hard-hitting stuff that you get when you pay for this podcast.
You did research. I remembered.
Well, that's fair, too. The last Indiana Mr. Basketball, Purdue actually recruited and had come to the fine university was 2015, Caleb Swanigan. And who got second that year, Casey?
I'm going to guess it's Ryan Klein.
That is correct. Yes. So in 2015, Purdue had the first and second place Mr. Basketball. And this season, 2021, Purdue also had the first and second place in Indiana Mr. Basketball. So I think it worked out pretty well when we had Biggie and Klein. So can we expect a similar result with Mr. First and Mr. Kaufman Wren coming in next season, Casey?
I mean, I think even better because we have three Mr. Basketballs. Well, two Mr. Basketballs and a runner-up now. Because we also have Ethan Morton, who won Mr. Basketball in Pennsylvania.
Right, that's true.
I do, because, you know, it's rare that not only are they both, you know, had great high school careers, they both come in with a top 40 pedigree ranking wise. They're both high 4-star players. And despite they play the same position, they're somewhere between a hybrid 4 center and a wing, but they also have, you know, different complementary games. First is more of a down low, has a really, really quick, aggressive post game. A little bit of a jump shot, but Trey Kaufman Wren is a long, talented, skilled four that is almost a prototype modern day four who can shoot and score and dunk and finish from anywhere. They really get after it. He really got after it on the defensive end when he needed to. They're both state champions. There is a lot alike with both of those guys, and we have some openings with Aaron Wheeler leaving the program as a transfer headed over to St. John's.
I think that's right. Yeah.
St. John's, St. Joe's. It's either Rensselaer or an actual basketball program. I'm not sure.
I believe it's the actual basketball program. Okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah. I believe he's going to New York.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it's hard to argue with leaving West Lafayette for New York. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a great city.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But
yeah,
it'll be exciting to see some freshmen step in. At times, I don't know how much our offense was the problem this year. We really struggled with perimeter defense, but you're never going to argue about getting in two guys who have a higher ceiling on offense than what Aaron Wheeler has shown us. So yeah, to bring in two guys who, the thing I'm most excited about, they really seem like guys that could play really well with Trey Williams. And they're pretty long. They're good rebounders, especially first. With Mason Gillis already there at the four, it probably sets up our big man rotation between Edie Williams, those two, and Gillis. We have five guys that should be able to be pretty interchangeable. I think first will struggle a little bit on defense to start the year, but he really does.
I think you can say that about most freshmen, though. I mean, it's rare that you get a freshman who comes in and acclimates immediately to the pace of the game on defense, because sometimes on offense, you know, they catch up quicker because shooting is shooting. And, you know, if you're a good shooter, that's going to translate no matter the level. But on defense, it can just be a whole other animal.
It absolutely can. And the one nice thing is he's pretty athletic and he has long arms. He definitely, if he develops, can be the kind of guy who can really switch and defend at all positions. He's a little bit more tough-minded on the glass. Kaufman Wren's more of an offensive player. I would just look out for first, perhaps, catching a red shirt. We've had a lot of those over the last few years. I'm just saying, look out for it.
I was going to ask you if there was any chance one of these guys redshirts, but I thought it was a stupid question because I just don't see how it's possible.
So it's possible because we have such a deep team, even with Wheeler leaving, because what we have experienced guards, and I'm not sure where the minutes are going to come because Mason Gillis was really good for us.
Yes.
Also, Edie and Trey are so good that we might have to consider playing them. It might be even more urgent than we had Swanigan and Haas and Hammonds and all those big guys. Trey's passing, I think, allows us to perhaps look at the two center option more than we had to with Haas and everyone else, just because he is so dangerous at every level of the court.
Yeah.
And Edie is such a monster that I don't know how we don't try to get both of those guys to play 25 minutes plus.
Right. I think last season, I think we only did that one time, right? And it was only for maybe 2 minutes of play, if that.
Yeah, and I think we got a basket on every possession. All I'm saying is Trey is a once-in-a-generational offensive talent as a big man and can pass, and Edie eats up so much space.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know a Big Ten team that could guard the both of them.
No, and if Edie, I mean, obviously it was beaten on every game, you know, how he's only played for a few years, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I hate to mention that again, but it is true. And if he continues to grow and continues to improve in his game, it'll be nearly impossible to keep him, like you said, off the floor 25, 26, 30 minutes per game. And when you've got a player like him and a player like Williams, you got to figure out a way to get them both on the floor. The only thing I will say is, not the best part, but it does help that one of them almost always is seemingly in foul trouble. So it takes a lot of the thinking away from the coaching staff. You know, they don't have to sit and say, how are we going to get him his minutes? Because, you know, inevitably either Trey or Edie are going to get two fouls just like lightning quick. So you can just throw the other one in, and hopefully with reinforcements coming in, should they both get two fouls, we won't have to worry about throwing somebody out there who's going to get a quick third, and then we're sitting there scared in the second half of getting fouls too quick and having to ride the bench for 15 minutes.
Yeah, the first thing on Edie is he got so much better just from the start of his freshman season to the end, which is the hardest time to get better.
Yeah, yeah, because that's usually when you're hitting the wall.
You know,
and we saw it in other freshmen this year. We even saw it in upperclassmen who were asked to take on bigger roles. You know, you see their legs get tired and you see them kind of fall off as the season progresses. But Edie just seemed to just get better and better.
Yeah, he couldn't, literally could not pass at the start of the season. And towards the end, he was making whip outlet passes, dribble handoffs, just incredible the development he made. And there were times he played Trey off the court at the end of the game, even though Trey has consistently shown himself to be a remarkable late game post scorer. You can just run your whole offense through him in Big Ten play.
Yeah, just a great decision maker.
But the best thing about First and Kaufman Wrenn is it will give us more versatility. I think Mason Gillis is going to show up as a potential stretch five when we need to, and we want to go real athletic and just, you know, if we ever get a problem where guards are just destroying us on little pick and rolls, maybe we just go five athletes on the court and switch everything.
Yeah, just a smaller lineup out there. These two do give us quite a few more options out there, because I think when you look at what happened in the NCAA tournament, we need options when things aren't going well. You know, we need other people to put out there, whether that be someone who can jump off the bench and hit some shots as we need it at times during that game, or perhaps more importantly, someone who can go in there and go toe-to-toe on defense and be disruptive. And that's really what we lacked in a lot of that North Texas game.
Yeah, First and Kaufman Wrenn remind me a little bit of when we brought in Scotty Martin and Robbie Hummel. Pretty much two players that played the same position, each one slightly different than the other. Let's hope it ends up better. Hope it ends up better.
That did not work last time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's weird to get two top 40 players at the exact same position at the exact same time.
Unless you're Tom Crean at IU, you're not going to get those players and then be like, I don't know where to play them. And then you just, you know, you have seven of the same player, and then nobody else can play the other positions.
Yeah. If it's going to come down to if Kaufman Wrenn can play the three, if he can defend at the three level, I think that gives us a ceiling we didn't have last year and will lead us to our first Final Four under Matt Painter. I called this 2.5 years ago, Ledman.
Oh, my gosh. It's getting hot.
I called the Elite Eight run with the Carson Klein.
You did. And wait, hold on. I got to push back, because you told me, you guaranteed me that this team would go to the Sweet 16. And I pushed back the entire year. And then at the end of the season, you convinced me. and there was a post on the site where I said, it was like, what is your NCAA tournament predictions? And I even said in the post, I was like, Casey convinced me. He said Sweet 16. I've been listening to him. I'm buying in. And then what happens? First round exit. So let's not pretend you're infallible here.
I am definitely infallible. So
I think you mean you're fallible.
Sure, you said that, not me.
I think you might be mixing up the words here.
Yes, I am fallible.
There you go.
I think we have two pressure points for the season. And it's going to come down to, can Kaufman Wrenn play the three? And if we can make the other pressure point moot, which is Sasha's defense in an NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
He's played in two tournament runs, and it was a North Texas game where he got played off the court, and the Virginia Elite Eight where he played, I think it was like a minute and a half, and Kyle Guy may have scored 14 points, and he got put to the bench. That was his freshman year. That's fine.
Those numbers might not be accurate. I don't know.
It certainly felt like 14 points, Ledman.
In a minute and a half?
It felt like it.
That's like a Papa shot number.
Yeah, and that's kind of what our defense looked like with him on the court.
No, that's true.
He's either got to make a whole lot of improvements, or Kaufman has to take over that three, and Newman... Well, I mean, we don't even need Newman at that point. Like, if Kaufman Wrenn can be the player he's shown himself, that he becomes a three, all of a sudden we get to choose between Hunter, Ivy, Sasha, and Newman to only fill two spots.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes me feel pretty good.
Yeah,
that makes me feel really good.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that having the two best players in the state of Indiana come to your university is good.
Yes.
Okay, we should do that more.
All the time. Which, we've done it more than any other school in the program, in the state, for sure.
All right, I think we should keep doing that then. We'll see what happens. So on to our final topic of the night. You may have seen at the end of last month, the NCAA was before the Supreme Court. And that is not really something that happens too often. Now, I am aware of this. Wait, was that supposed to be Law and Order?
Yeah, I got it wrong. I can never remember it.
Dun dun.
There it is. Oh, it's only two. That's right.
Yeah. Unless you're doing the whole song, then it's dun 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 dun.
So this is what you study when you guys are studying for the bar exam.
Yeah, this is, you know, the whole law school is basically you just watch episodes of Law and Order and then you discuss them.
That makes so much more sense.
Yeah, you'd be amazed what you can learn, especially on SVU. I mean, there's just a lot going on.
Perfect. So I think I'm going to cross-examine you over this MCA lawsuit then.
Okay. All right. What do you think?
I've got...
Do you even... If I asked you right now... Give me a 30-second rundown of what this case is about. Could you tell me?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, that's what I figured. That's what I figured.
Yeah, but we're here to find that out, so we all can all afterwards. Okay. My first question, literally written down in ink beforehand.
Ooh, in ink. That's how you know it's serious.
Can you explain the lawsuit?
I can.
Perfect.
Okay, so it's really similar to a lawsuit you've probably heard of if you're a baseball fan. So... Years ago, there was no free agency in baseball. Players were owned, in quotes, by teams.
Travis and three other people are nodding.
Well, hey, it's America's pastime. Just because you hate it.
Yeah, the time has passed.
I know. Look, hey, I like it. I understand a lot of people think it's boring, including my wife. Yes. You know, that's coming back with the sequel.
Of course it is.
So, in essence, once you signed a contract with a team, you were theirs until they didn't want you anymore. There was no contract negotiation of, hey, if you don't re-sign me, I'm going from the Tigers to the Reds. There was none of that. It was, I'm owned by the Reds. The Reds can pay me what they want because I signed a contract.
Some of these words seem triggering.
Yeah, that's kind of... the point.
Yes.
So they there was a lawsuit. The players basically sued and said, you know, what's going on? We're employees, but we don't have any of the rights of employees. So they basically were told the MLB was given an antitrust exemption. So they're basically allowed to break the rules of antitrust in order to come to basically a compromise to say the players have more or less freedom of movement from one team to another. And that was the creation of free agency. That was how players were able to go from one team to another and really kind of allowed players to actually make more money. It's kind of how it started. So,
but
right
Ledman,
now, yes,
student athletes are student athletes, not employees. It's a very important distinction.
There are few things that very important does that make me angrier than the term student athletes, which
do they not student and do they not athlete?
I it's hard
are you coming for the hyphen?
I'm coming for the hyphen.
God damn it.
So for those of you that don't know the history of the term student athlete, it was created in basically a room of rich university presidents to figure out a way to not pay workers' compensation claims for the athletes, because the argument was, well, they're not employees, they're students. So they're students first, athletes second. So we're not responsible for them. So the term student athlete was created that way and has stuck ever since.
You mean it was a PR stunt this whole time?
More or less, yeah. I'm probably being meaner than I need to be, because I think the NCAA is a corrupt bunch of jackwagons, but
yes, let's please protect their dignity.
So, in essence, in this case, you've probably heard about, NCAA athletes can now get a cost of living amount of money. You know, they get that in addition to their scholarship now. Well, basically, all these NCAA schools came together and said, well, okay, if we have to do this now, we're only going to pay X. So you can only get X dollars regardless of what school you go to. And some of the athletes are like, well, that doesn't seem right. Why does one group get to decide what happens at Michigan and Penn State and UCLA and USC and Alabama? So they basically said, this kind of sounds like price fixing.
Ooh,
and
anti-competitive. That sounds like a lawyer term.
Yeah. So that was the argument that the athletes kind of brought up and brought to the Supreme Court. They won at the lower court, and the decision was basically, yeah, you can pay more than that. You can't really set an arbitrary limit like that. Go ahead. So the NCAA is arguing that, oh no, it's amateurism. You know, if one of the argument, and this is a real argument, I'm not making this up, I'm not being hyperbolic in any way. One of the arguments the NCAA put forth was that if you pay athletes, it will take away what many people love about college athletics, is that the athletes aren't paid. Could you imagine Could you imagine being a fan and being like, I only watch this because they don't get paid?
Ledman, it ruins it for me. If the popcorn in my hand costs less than the players on the court, I can't root. I can't cheer.
You know, I actually, when that happened, I was like live tweeting on the Hammer and Rails account about what was going on. And I put up a Twitter poll of why do you watch college sports? And one of the options was because they don't get paid. Literally, people voted for it and replied and said, that's one of the reasons I watch it.
What?
And I just wanted to reach into the computer and be like, but why?
Is there like an intern fetish?
I don't know. I guess this all comes full circle, talking about unpaid internships, and now we come back to this.
Yeah.
And before people in the comments go crazy and say, but they get an education. Okay. Have you ever been a student athlete? You know, oftentimes they're pushed out of the majors they really want to do because that would be too hard to do the sport and get the education at the same time. Yeah, they have advantages. They have training tables. They have tutors. They have a lot of good things. But you know what? They need those things because so much of their time is taken up by the sport. So don't come at me with the they get a free education.
Right. Also, like, it's not even like close to free. Their services are making money for the university.
Tons of money.
So even if you're going to say that, yeah, they give this compensation, that compensation does not even come close to what they offer the university and NCAA and ESPN and CBS Sports and everything. So if you want it to be a free market about what it's what, like, the money shift is not even close to even.
No. And I mean, and in fact, that was brought up because the NCAA talked about how, well, you know, if we go down this road, what eventually it'll escalate. It may be, you know, 5,000 now, but in 2 years, it'll be 10,000, then 20,000, then 30. And, you know, they talking about that. And one of the justices, I can't recall who, said, well, does this apply to coaches' salaries?
And I'm doing a quick Google search. It does not.
Yeah, it does not. I believe there actually was another lawsuit that made it so college coaches could basically make whatever they wanted, whatever was the market deemed appropriate. And that's how you get coaches that make 3, 5, 7, 9
Hi, Coach Brom.
Million a year. So the arguments that the NCAA brought up just kept getting shot down one after another. And this was not, you know, I'm not trying to wade into politics here, but this was not a liberal justice, conservative justice kind of situation. It didn't matter which president appointed him. It didn't matter which party the justice, you know, associates with. It was more of, yeah, that's a bad argument. And I'm going to go on a long soliloquy about why. And ultimately, they just kept getting smacked down. This goes back to my it depends answer from earlier. Anybody who pays attention to the Supreme Court will tell you not to read too much into oral arguments just because you never know what can happen once the justices get behind closed doors. So the consensus seems to be that they may just leave the lower court ruling in place, which would be like the most narrow of results, but it would be for the athletes. And really, that's all the athletes are seeking. The lawyer for the athletes was asked, you know, what do you look at? What's going to be the end result of this? Are you worried that if we go down this road, we will destroy college sports? Because obviously, you know, the justices, whether whether you agree with their stances or not, they often will throw real life politics and real life issues into it because they understand that what they decide does have a real world impact. So could you imagine if the case was literally about ending college athletics, if there were five justices who were like, yeah, we'll just do that. Those people would never be able to show their face in public. There would be angry Alabama fans poisoning their trees. I mean, or was that an Auburn fan? I think that was – I can't remember. But I think it was an Alabama fan. Poison the trees, right?
It sounds like the best move for IU basketball.
Yeah, it does. It's, you know, oh, we can't do it anymore. The Supreme Court says it's done.
Banners?
No, we had to take those down.
Banners!
So, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. It's not going to come out for another couple months because of the way the Supreme Court handles everything. You know, they do
that
these
was
cases.
My next question. What is the timeline that we're going to actually see change?
So because it's the Supreme Court and it's, you know, run by nine people who we never really get a full idea of what they do or what they think, we don't know when it's going to come out. They're in a, you know, they finish their docket for the year and they go into their writing sessions and they go into their meetings where they decide who's going to write what and what the vote is, you know, 5-4, 6-3, 7-2, 9-0, whatever. And then it's assigned to someone to write it. They then go, they write it, they come back, they review it. Oh, I agree with this. I agree with that. Take out that, blah, blah, blah. Whatever they have to do to keep those five votes so they have a majority. But then they come out during, you know, the end of the session. We know when the end of the session is, but we don't know in what order the cases are released. We don't know really when the opinions will come out. They just one random Wednesday, 2 months from now, you'll see those pictures of interns from the news networks holding up pieces of paper, you know, shaking them as they run.
That was good Foley work.
Yeah, thank you. Over to get them on TV so that they can figure out what they are because no one knows. I mean, it'll be 2 to 3 months from now and we'll find out, but no one knows for sure.
Okay. So in 2 to 3 months, we will no longer be able to root for college athletes because they can afford breakfast.
That's right. That's right. We'll probably be folding this podcast at that time, and we'll probably just get rid of Hammer and Rails. I bet SB Nation probably going to go under, too.
Perfect.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah. So that was a long-winded explanation for one question, but we just went with it.
Hey, you went to law school for a long time, not to be succinct.
I did. That, you know, I should really figure out how I can get my hourly rate on this podcast.
Ooh, charge that to Travis, not me.
Yeah. Well, I charge everything to Travis.
Good.
Yeah, he did just buy a new car. We'll see if he listens to this.
Currently, I cannot get the Purdue game working on my phone, so no live update.
All right, well, we'll wrap this up with our last thing here. We do, like I said, we're going to try to end this each week with a recommendation. And it's not always going to be sports related, probably be pop culture related, to be quite honest. But we're going to see what it is, and we're going to rotate. Casey will do one, I'll do one. But like I said, this week we actually talked about it, and we have the same recommendation. So I will let Casey start, and then I will hop in.
All right. So pretty much it comes down to this last year sucked for everyone. Pretty much there's been no joy. We've been locked in our house. We've been afraid. We've been dying. And there has only been one universal agreed upon taste of happiness. And it's just Ted Lasso. That's all there is.
Absolutely.
It's from the writer of Scrubs, Bill Lawrence.
Bill Lawrence, what a genius that man is.
Just everything about it is unbelievable. Jason Sudeikis is amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
It is as funny and as wholesome, as good-hearted. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it this last year, but there it is anyway. And if you haven't watched it, go watch it, and you will, like, it's all the joy that's left in the world.
Yeah, and I mean, in fairness, I've got one episode left. Probably two, because my wife actually fell asleep during the second episode we watched last night. So we're probably going to have to watch that one again before we get to the final. but Ted Lasso is on Apple TV. I'm not sure if you said that or not.
No,
there's only one season so far, and you may remember it because it used to be a commercial. There was a commercial that this whole thing is based on, of Jason Sudeikis being this coach, and they were hilarious commercials. And apparently Olivia Wilde, his not quite wife, but now they've broken up, was the one that was like, no, this could be a show, and kind of helped push him to do it. So we have Olivia Wilde to thank for this.
I have a lot to thank for
yes.
Olivia Wilde.
So I just have to kind of echo what Casey said. It is so beautiful, this show. It's joyous. It's fun. You'll laugh. You'll smile. You will cry if you're anything like me. I mean, I think there's been at least three episodes where I've cried, whether they were tears of joy or just like all of the emotions. So Ted Lasso just brings me great joy. And it is worth subscribing to Apple TV just to get this. Apple TV Plus, I guess, is technically what it's called. But it just brings me so much joy. I can't wait to finish it. And Casey informed me today that actually it's already renewed for seasons 2 and 3.
Dose seasons
so
Moro.
I cannot wait. It makes me smile just thinking about it.
You're not even done with it. Ugh. So good.
Oh, I know. I got one episode left, and like I said, Jess fell asleep during the episode we watched last night, which is the penultimate episode. And I was watching it, and I turned, and I was like, "Oh man, she's asleep. Do I stop watching or do I keep going?" And I was like, "How much time is left in this episode?" I think there was like 15 or 20 minutes left, and I was like, "I'm definitely gonna finish."
You just gotta finish while being in a position where you could feign like you were asleep if she woke up.
Right. Be like, oh man, did we get through that whole episode?
Yeah,
oh cool. No.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm very excited to finish it tonight, but I'm also going to be very sad that it's over and I have to wait for new episodes.
They've already started filming, Ledman. They've been filming for about a month. So it will be on the docket coming up soon. Live break-in right now. Purdue is up 13-6 in the first set.
All right. That's good news. All right. So we are probably going to hop off here. That is going to be it for us on this episode 1 of this rebranded Hammer and Rails podcast, the Andrew and Casey edition. We may call it the Casey and Andrew edition. We're still workshopping whose name goes first. But we'll see. You know, so from Casey and from myself, everybody, boiler up and let's hammer that subscribe button.
Barbecue sauce.